Here we go with yet another podcast episode. Hello, I'm Ray. Welcome to If You Want a Job Doing Properly, Do It Yourself. Someone told me that when I was, I don't know how old I was, probably about 8, 9, 10 years old. If you want a job doing properly, do it yourself. And over the years, I have found that to be true. Now, obviously, not every job you can do yourself. I have tried plastering walls and ceilings. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just make a total mess. I get more plaster on the floor and over myself than I do on the wall. I've watched the professionals do it. They get a mirror finish, not a line or a wrinkle or any blemish in sight. I don't know how they do it. It's obviously experience. It's a skill. But I just can't do it. So I would have to get a plasterer in. Now, let me give you an example. Actually, I've got one example, which I'm saving to the end. It involves a toilet. Right, okay. I'm going to save that one to the end because it's pretty disgusting. Let's start with this. A friend of mine had his kitchen tiled. He fitted all the units, but he wanted to get the tiling done professionally because he hadn't tiled before and he thought, well, you know, it's not going to look good if the tiles aren't right. So he got a professional tiler in. And he did the job. In the meantime, I was refitting our kitchen. And I did the tiling myself. I'd never done it before, but I thought, well, this can't be too bad. And I was quite pleased with the result. When he came round, he said, do you know, your tiling is better than the professional did at my house. And I went and had a look at his tiling. And he was right, although I say it myself, my tiling was better than the professional job. My neighbour, years ago, was working away quite a bit. They'd only just moved into the house. Nice couple. And his wife wanted a washing line put up. She had one of these rotary washing lines, you know. And she wanted that put up just in the lawn at the edge of the patio. So she could stand on the patio, hang the washing out. But she wanted the pole actually on the lawn. Now, my neighbour, as I say, he worked away a lot. And he said to her, look, I'll find a chap to do it. And she said, no, it's all right. I'll find someone locally. He was away at the time. They were on the phone. She said, leave it to me. I'll find someone locally, which she did. Chap came round and he was out there working away. She made him a cup of coffee. He seemed like a nice enough chap. And he said to her, there we are, job all done. He'd put the turf back. You know, she looked at the grass. Oh, lovely. That looks good. There's the socket, you know, the tube in the ground for the rotary line to slot into. And he said, look, don't use it for 2 or 3 days because the concrete has to set. Right, OK, that's fine. Come the Saturday, it was, the sort of 2 or 3 days was up. Her husband came home and she said, look, I've had this done. And he had a look. He put the line in there and it was crooked. The washing pole, you know, the central pole of the rotary line, was leaning over. And she said, can you straighten it? And he said, well, not really, if there's a load of concrete there. He said, all I can do is dig round the concrete and try and straighten the whole lump, you know, and then put all the soil back and ram it back solid. So he started digging, and there was no concrete. There was no concrete there. What the chap had done, he'd hammered the tube, into the ground, and he hadn't even got it straight. He'd just hammered it into the ground, charged her, I think it was £50 or something. It was quite a lot of money, and there's no concrete there at all. It was a sort of a 5-minute job to hammer this thing into the ground. So they got the chap back on the pretense that they wanted other work done. They didn't want to say this is crooked, come and sort it out, because he'd probably never turn up. So he came round and they took him out into the back garden. And he was looking round, obviously thinking, what is this other work? And my neighbour said to him, just before we talk about that, could you straighten this? And he showed him, he put the pole in there. It was crooked. He said, could you straighten that for us? It's not quite right. And the chap said, yes, okay, you work away, don't you? And my neighbour said, yes, I do. He said, well, I won't be able to come back until next week to do that, but show me what other work you want done and I'll do it all together. And my neighbour said, well, no, could you actually straighten this now? Because we can't use it. If we put washing on it, the whole thing's likely to go over. And the chap said, well, yes, I can't at the moment. I don't have my right tools with me. And in the end, my neighbour said, look, the reason you can't do it now is because I'm here watching and you know that there's no concrete there. And apparently the chap, he went very red. all this business. Anyway, long story short, he gave the £50 back, or however much it was. He gave it back in cash. So that was that. And my neighbour said to me, funnily enough, if you want a job doing, probably do it yourself. Another neighbour of mine, this was at a different house some years later, he hurt his leg. I don't know what he'd done to it. He'd done something bad to his leg and he could barely walk. And he'd been about to lay a concrete base to put this new shed on that he bought. So he thought, well, what I'll do is I'll get someone else in to do the concrete base. And then by the time that's done, my leg will be better and I can put the shed up. So he got this chap in and he was out in the garden digging away and putting shuttering around, put all the concrete in, worked hard, got it all done within a day, which was good. Now the lawn sloped down to the path, which was in the centre of the garden. The lawn sloped down. And my neighbour was looking out of the window. He told me this and he thought, that shed base is crooked. Then he thought, no, it's not. No, it's the lawn that's crooked. It was deceptive. When his leg was better, he went out there. The concrete base, the whole thing sloped down towards the garden path. It followed the contour of the lawn. And he got a spirit level out, and it was miles out. In fact, one end was 6 inches lower than the other end. Couldn't put a shed on that. And he had to then, he didn't call the chap back, as though he thought, just do it yourself. If you want it done properly, do it yourself. What he did, he put the shuttering round, you know, the boards all round the planks, filled it with concrete, levelled it all off, and then eventually he was able to put the shed up. But that's the same sort of example, isn't it, as the others. If you want a job doing properly, do it yourself. You would think that someone would get the concrete level. He supposed, and I agreed, that the chap had followed the contour of the lawn, thinking that was the thing to do. And of course it's not. You've got to get the thing level. You can't have the shed crooked, leaning down one end just because the lawn leans down, or doesn't lean, slopes down one end. Talking of lawns, a friend of mine decided to have the back garden landscaped. Again, he was going to do it himself, but he worked full time, so it's not easy fitting it in. He got a chap in, or a couple of chaps, to turf the back garden. There was chalk. It was on a slope, so it wasn't that easy. There were lumps of chalk everywhere. That all needed to be raked out and levelled off, and the turf rolled out. Not a difficult job, not rocket science, but quite a lot of manpower. When the job was done, it looked all right, but there were some lumps in the turf. And he said, "Yeah, what are these lumps? Oh, that'll settle down. It's just, you know, where we've, you know, blah, blah, blah. All this business. That'll be fine. That'll settle down. It's the newness. It'll wear off." Oh, okay. Well, the turf died, although he watered it. Eventually it died throughout the summer. He kept watering it. They'd put it just on the chalk. All these lumps of chalk. That's why the turf was lumpy. The sort of boulder, well, not boulders, but quite large lumps of chalk beneath the turf. And needless to say, he had to rip it all up, get rid of the old turf, rake it all out, put down some topsoil, do it all properly, level it, order new turf, roll it out, and he's now got a fantastic lawn. There we are. I'm not going to say it again, am I, if you want a job doing properly. We had some double glazing put in or replaced. And I said to the chap when he came round to do the quote, I said, the back door seal's gone, you know, the rubber strip around the back door. In fact, there are two rubber strips, one sort of in the door and one on the outer side of the door, a double seal in effect. And he looked and he said, oh yeah, okay, yeah, we can replace that. He said, we don't replace both, we'll only do one. Not necessary to have them both replaced. Now, they both needed replacing because they were very brittle and all falling apart. But he said they only do one. I don't know why. Well, I got the quote. I had a look at the pricing. The window was fine. Back door, replaced seal, £96. I thought, hang on, £96? To be honest, I thought they were going to throw in the seal. You know, we were spending a lot of money on the double glazing, and I thought they'd just chuck in the back door seal as, I don't know, as a matter of course, you know, well, there we are, valued customer and all that. No, £96. So what I did, I went online, as you do, and I found some. This chap had 35 metres of this stuff, and it was the right stuff, because it's all different, isn't it? I looked at it, and he had all the measurements, the cross-section and everything. It was exactly what I wanted. £17. And I had a whole carrier bag full of it, 35 metres of it. So I replaced the back door seal. It was a bit of a fiddle getting the old stuff out. You know, it was brittle and a bit of a job to get it out. But it didn't take that long. And when they came round to do the window, he said, "Oh, you didn't want the seal done?" I said, "No, not for £96. I did it myself for 17. Oh, well, yes. He said, "You've got to do it properly." And he had a look. I said, "Is that properly? Is that all right?" "Yeah, that's fine, that's fine." He was a bit red-faced. Well, he didn't actually go red-faced, but I think he felt a bit guilty. You'd think they'd throw that in, wouldn't you? I would do the double glazing myself, but with old age and stuff, my back hurts, my knee hurts. But I have actually fitted a double glaze window before now. I've taken the old one out, fitted the new one. That was downstairs, ground floor, admittedly. But I don't think I want to do it again. Previous to that, at another house, I had all the front double glazed. And I went to a big company, wrongly thinking that that was the thing to do. They would be the big professionals. I couldn't have been more wrong. They fitted it all. I was going round the upstairs front bedroom window. I went to open the window. It wouldn't open. It was jammed shut. And the chap said, we'll sort that out. That's just a minor issue. And the long, you know, the hopper window at the top, that only opened a couple of inches. Then it seemed to hit something or jam up on something. Oh, we'll have to come back and put that right, because we haven't got the scaffolding here now. Well, they didn't have scaffolding in the first place, so I don't know what he was talking about. What it was, it's a bit of a long story, what it was, they hadn't measured it properly. The window frame was a little bit too big to go in, and they jammed it in, and it had somehow twisted. So, of course, the windows weren't opening properly. Anyway, they sort of put it right. One of the other windows, a smaller window, that was okay. They hadn't sealed outside. I thought, well, I can do that. I can lean out of the window and seal around the outside. They'd forgotten to do that or hadn't bothered. But inside, you know, inside where they fit that plastic strip, you know, to cover up sort of holes and bodges and things, they glue this plastic strip round the wall inside the window sort of hole. Well, it was a huge length. It was about 6 inches, you know, the whole width of the inner wall where it meets the window. And the wallpaper, I didn't realise this till afterwards, the wallpaper, I noticed was going in a bit. And I just lifted it. Huge holes. The wallpaper had nothing behind it. What an absolute bodge. I had to put all that right. I did call them back, phone call after phone call. Right, yeah, we'll be back and have a look. They never did. I'm not going to mention the name of the company, of course, but a very big, very well-known company. What a waste of time. Should have gone to one of the smaller businesses. There's one at the end of my road, virtually. Or there was at the time. I should have gone there. I don't know why I didn't. My brother-in-law bought a back door from a little shop. He bought this back door and he fitted all the furniture. It's called furniture, isn't it? You know, the door handle and the latch and all the bits and pieces, the hinges. He did all that. Took him ages. And he eventually offered it up to the frame, screwed it in. Perfect. Looks good. He closed it, yeah, and opened it. Yeah, that's fine. Except for one thing. At the top, when it was closed, there was an inch gap. The door was warped. After all that work, chiselling away and fitting all the bits and pieces, he had to take it all off, took it back to the shop. And do you know what the chap said? You won't believe this. He said, "Oh, well, can't you warp the frame to match the door?" And eventually he got his money back. But what a waste of time that was. He did get his money back. But can you warp the frame to match the door? Stone the crows. Chap over the road from me had his guttering done. And he worked sort of 7 days a week up in London. I don't know what he did. But yeah, we got on all right. We used to chat if we saw each other in the street. And he got home one night after having this guttering done. And it was lashing with rain. The guttering had been done in the morning, so good timing. I just happened to see him. What's he doing? He's standing out in the rain, looking up at the gutter. There was a waterfall coming out of the centre, where the front door was in the middle of the house. This cascade of water gushing down. It was torrential rain. And I happened to be upstairs looking out of the front window, and I could see that the gutter, rather than sloping down towards the drain pipe, you know, the downpipe, The down part of the gutter was in the centre. Of course, it filled up and was overflowing. And I went out and he said, look at that. I've only just had this done this morning. He said, I don't know what, it must be blocked. I don't know what's happened. I said, no, come with me. And I took him to the front room upstairs. I said, look at your gutter from here. He said, oh dear, it goes down in the middle. And it did. Of course, he got them back to do it. But he couldn't do the job himself because he worked all the time. And as he said, he didn't like heights. He couldn't go up a ladder. But fancy doing that. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? You'd think that someone who fits gutters and the rest of it for a living would at least get that right, get the slope down to the downpipe, the drain pipe. I know you're all waiting to hear about the toilet. I was going to tell you about shelves. A friend of mine, she had some shelves put up by a professional chap. They were crooked, of course. In the end, she got her husband. Again, he worked a lot. This is the trouble. When you work a lot, especially if you're commuting somewhere, you know, you've only got the weekend and you don't want to spend the whole weekend doing maintenance jobs on the house. Anyway, she had to eventually get her husband to do the shelves. So that was that. There were some curtains that a neighbour of mine, this was years ago, had put up. That was a disaster. The rail fell down and she couldn't get the people back. In the end, she got a neighbour to do it, I think. OK, the toilet. Picture this, OK, a guest house, right? I think they had about 8 sort of letting rooms in this guest house. Now, this is a true story. You're not going to believe it, but it's a true story. And they wanted to have one of the rooms on the top floor en suite. They already had a basin and there was just room for a toilet. So they got this plumber chap in. We want the toilet there. No problem, he said. No problem, I can do that. It was against an outside wall, so that should have been no problem for drainage and the rest of it. He fitted the toilet and it was a good job. He tied it up after himself and it looked really nice. After a few months, the wall downstairs on the ground floor in the kitchen was very, very damp. This was behind the cookers that they had, a big double cooker. The wall was all damp. They thought there was a leak somewhere. And there was a strange smell. So they went outside the house to see what the outer wall was like. That was not just damp, it was very wet. There was something leaking somewhere. They got a chap in to come and have a look. He said, what I'm going to have to do is take some bricks out on the outside wall, because he couldn't find any pipes anywhere that would be leaking to make the wall wet, inner and outer, you know, the cavity wall. Both walls very, very wet. He took a few bricks out, just about a foot above ground level, and this stuff oozed out. It was, how can I describe it? You're not having breakfast, are you, or lunch, or your evening meal? If you are, stop listening now and listen to this later. The stuff that oozed out was horrible and brown and smelly. It was toilet waste, put it that way. So he went up to the toilet that they'd had fitted and he looked at that. Well, what is going on here? Where does the waste pipe go? It went into the wall from the toilet itself, went into the wall. He went back outside. It didn't come out. There was no pipe outside. The toilet waste was going down the cavity. And the cavity wall. It's not funny. You have to laugh. This is true. This is a true story. Over the months, the cavity wall had filled up with stuff. Put it that way, with stuff. And of course, each time you flush it, there's what, a gallon of water at least, if not more, all going down the cavity, piling up in the bottom. Oh, absolute nightmare. What they had to do was take a load of bricks out on the outside wall, clean everything out, dry it all out, put all the bricks back. Then inside, they had to take a load of the bricks out, you know, get all the plaster off, remove the cookers and everything, get the plaster off the wall, take the bricks out, redo that, dry it all out, and eventually it was okay. Oh, and of course, fit the toilet properly. And that wasn't too much of a job because on the outside wall where the toilet pipe then came out, it wasn't far from the big soil pipe. They just took it into that. So how about that? You can carry on eating now, if you were eating. There we are. How about that? The toilet waste goes into the cavity. They never did find the plumber that had fitted it in the first place. I think he should be put in jail for that. As always, I'd like to hear your comments, rude or otherwise, so please email me, raysrants, RaysRants, all one word, raysrants@protonmail.com. Love to hear from you. I shall see you, well, I won't see you, and you won't see me. You will hear me, if you listen, next Sunday. Take care, look after yourselves. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.